Well, good evening, everyone. I didn't expect to see too many, but thank God for some meetings where they come out at night. And it's good to be with you, and they won't let me grow rusty if I come to this part of the world, because I've been on deck a few times, and I was only figuring on the conference. And then on Sunday, see, we have three services in the morning, and we get out, and then once in 3 months, we all come together for a little fellowship and potluck supper and a few other things. But our Wednesday night meeting is always the Awana and the program for all these young people and the children. And then we have the Bible study and prayer. And it's quite a nice thing to be in an assembly where when I came to that part of the world, we were meeting in a house in one small room. And I've watched over the years, in the 40 years I was away in Africa, all the work grew and developed, and now we have three hive-offs. So I felt like it was coming home when the brethren said that the door was open. They renovated the little house at the back. It used to be a doctor's house. And I live there now, and the Lord and I have a good time in that lonely little house. But I've learned to talk to him a lot, because I'm all by myself now. And Gracie is up in heaven. And one of the nicest surprises I got, when I met my wife, I hadn't seen her for 26 years. Poor old Jacob, he only had 14 years. But I waited 26 years. And one day she was sitting in the audience. I didn't recognize her. She passed through a lot of sorrow. And it was a wonderful thing, because this is a little girl that I chummed with when we were teenagers. But she went into the nursing, and then she wanted to paddle her own canoe. She said goodbye to me one night, and she says, I'll never be back in Africa. That's all there is to it. So I kissed her goodbye, had a little prayer, never saw her again for 26 years. She was sitting in the audience. And here I come back to this part of the world, and one of the brethren says, Les, up in the top, there's an attic, and up there, there's a big box, and it's got a lot of things. I think you must have left them before you went to Africa. And that's a long, long time ago. So I brought back down this dusty, dusty box. And I looked in, and there was a little trinket here and there. And then all of a sudden, I saw a bundle about that size, about 40-some letters. And lo and behold, it was letters from Gracie. And of course, she'd gone to heaven now, but when she and I met, I could have gotten down and got married that afternoon. Why? I knew God brought her back into my life. That's all I know. And it didn't take long. That was February. And in June, we were married. And we had 40 years together. But I started reading these letters. And you know how you go, dearest lesson, the lollipop and all this stuff. And it was really wonderful. And because she's way up there in heaven, and I'm reading her letter about, you know, when she saw me for the first time after 26 years of absence. Why? There was nobody else in this poor world, because I knew her background, I knew her family. They all thought we were going to get married maybe someday. When she graduated and I graduated, it didn't come to pass, you know. And when the bottom dropped out of my life, I was on my way to seminary. And what a glad guy I was, because we're now going to have to worry writing to her and back and forth and waiting and getting married like my nephew Ross Rainey. I told him, stop in at St. Louis. You'll meet a nice little lady there that plays the piano. And I says, won't you see her? She's a little German girl. He went and did what I said. And he went to St. Louis assembly meeting. He saw this little lady at the piano, Lillian. He fell in up to his neck. And so I was with them this past year in their 40th anniversary. And guess where they went? Bermuda. And, of course, I lived there for 3 years. And I lived 7 years in Israel. And I lived 40 years in Africa. And so I'm not young anymore. But the ways of God are past finding out. They really are. And now tonight, just sit back and relax. I want to have a little Bible study with you. And this little Bible study is all about the Bible. Now, what does the Bible say mean to you? Well, I know it means a lot to me. Everything is my life. And I have my Greek Bible. It may be all Greek to you, and that's why I put it on the front of the page, the cover, and I had it printed. It may be Greek to you, but this book is life to me. Why? Because that's the way I live. And I want you to turn to Psalm 119. And I arrived in Jerusalem, and I didn't know anybody but God. The marvelous thing about it was that I wanted to go there and study. And I couldn't because they were always fighting. But the day came, I got there. Not as a student. I got there as serving the Lord. But they wouldn't let me stay, and I had to make a move. And instead of going home from the mission field, I went to Africa. The door opened up in a wonderful way for me. But I want you to come with me now to the book of the Psalms, the most wonderful book in all the world, because there's never a thought ever goes through this brain of yours, and there's never anything that ever rises up within your heart, but you'll find it in the book of the Psalms. What kind of a book is it called? Well, you see, the Jews have three books. They are called the Amet books. That means the truth. And if you want to know truth, Amet, where do you find it? Well, suppose you want something physical. Go to Job and discover something about the physical side of life. And suffering and trial. And you've never lost seven in one day. And I just lost one, but it took the heart out of me. And then when Dad was killed, that was another great blow. But the book of Job is such a wonderful book. I don't understand it too well, but I know it from start to finish. But that's the book of that's physical. Then you go to the next book, and it's the book of the Psalms, and it's feelings. Your feelings. Sometimes up, sometimes down, but everything that goes through this poor old brain, it's there. And then there's the practical side. And what book's that? Proverbs! And these three go together. And that's the way God has put them. And the way the Bible is put together, the greatest thing is the first five books. Why do we have the Pentagon? Because it's five-sided. Why do we have the Pentateuch? The five books. Because in the first five books of the Bible, you learn about God. What's he like? He's a creator. He's a redeemer. He's holy. He's providential. He's faithful. And you learn this. Then on the manward side, what do you do? I'm a fallen man. But bless God, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And then you go and you learn how to live. And the very first word of one of the deadest books, it seems to many Christians, the book of Leviticus, it's called, and he called Vayikra. And in the third book of the Bible, as the first word, Vayikra, and he called. What? Because God desires your fellowship. And if you're ever going to have fellowship with God, you've got to get straight with him. And then you learn how to, what's all this about? He gives you five views of the cross. And then he sets you on the going, and he gives you a wonderful way how you should walk. And then you learn that if you're dedicated as a Christian, it should affect your thumb, it should affect your and the ear. And what a wonderful study. And the whole book is the calling of God so that you might be true and faithful all the days of your life. And then you get in the wilderness, and a lot of Christians in Florida and other places, some of them live in Egypt. They seem to never get away from the leeks and the garlic and the onions. And I know it's quite a diet, but they don't get away from it. And then, in that place called Egypt, they seem to be glued, because the whole world lieth in the lap of the wicked one, or Egypt. And then some Christians get into the promised land and they go through the Red Sea and they see the power of God. And then they go through and they get into the promised land and they make one of the greatest discoveries. What is it? Well, God has a design and he takes us out of bondage And then he brings us into the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. And we discover, why, if I cross over Jordan and I learn to die to self and the world in which I live, and I begin to live for the Lord, and the Holy Spirit works in and through my life, I discover that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And I'm longing to get to the promised land. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm living in it, but there's a lot of warfare. And a lot of Christians don't know. They know we're at war and our boys are going over and many are being killed. But the Christian has a warfare. And it's not, I've never found it easy being a Christian. I really haven't. But I've got a deep, deep joy, and I have a peace I can't even beyond understand. And I've reveled in the love of the most glorious person I've ever known. His name is Jesus. And I like to think of him, Yeshua, because God knows the four Gospels. I need somebody who can rule my life. That's why we have Matthew. I need somebody who can help me, and especially now. That's why you have the book of the servants. You have always someone to help. My mother's maiden name was Mary Mark. And then I come into a book called Luke, a doctor, and he knows me from the top of my head to the sole of my foot. And he deals a lot with pain and suffering and certain characters who needed help. And you learn about earth and its madness. I'll build great brown. Then you learn about hell and its sadness. And then you learn about heaven and its gladness. And Dr. Luke takes you and he shows to you that you have someone who understands you better than anybody else in all the world. And thank God. And then you come to John. It's altogether different. Why? You learn of one who stepped out of the ivory palaces and he became man and he kept going down, down, down until he died on a cross. And then he went up, up, up to the throne of God. And today he's alive by many infallible proofs. And to me, the joy of living for him and always thanking him helps me to live a joyful life, even if I haven't got very much. And I have to live by myself. And it's lonely. But I've got someone in my life that silver and gold could never, ever even begin to match. And so as you weave your way through the Bible, you keep discovering. And that's the way it is with me. And when I arrived in the city of Jerusalem, the first thing I had to do was join a class with a group of Jewish people from all over the world. I think we represented 19 countries. And I was the only Canadian. And I remember one day the teacher said, we're going to start now with the history of Israel. And I want one of you young people to give me the names of the 12 sons of Jacob, because right down in the heart of the city, there's 7 branch candlesticks. And everybody is always over there was always talking about, you know, the Jewish background and the wonderful history and all the rest of it. But there wasn't one soul in that whole group and that class could stand up and repeat the 12 sons of Jacob. And I put up my hand. But you're a boy. That means you're a dog. And you know the 12 sons? I said, yeah, I sure do. I said, the first boy, see a son. The second one was the word hearing, Simeon. The third one was Levi, joining. And then who's the fourth one? Judah, praising. And boy, it's the story of the gospel. And then you can right through Benjamin, son of my right hand. And the whole 12 sons tell out the story. But God told the story to all the world in his day and generation, long, long before there was any book, survivors, or anything like that. Why? The zodiac, the stars. And if you want to find out about that, just go to the book of Job and then get into the Psalms. We had to learn all these things. And one day, a man on a ship said, look, come up to my... I'll help. you know, to understand. Just supposing it, we had a storm. Well, I'd be dependent on this compass. But, he says, as sure as I'm sitting here, this ship will be guided, just like now with the airboat, into the very place where we're going. And he started talking about the stars. I learned more that night than in many a lesson in different other studies. But he taught me. He says, we are dependent on the stars. And that's why every morning I get up, I see the morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000, the bright and morning star. He's the lily of the valley. He's all the world to me. And that's the way, every morning I when I go out, I get the paper, and I look up. If it isn't cloudy, I can get it. And how wonderful it is to know something of the message of the stars. And this book is a growing book. It's a developing book. It's 5, and then 17, and then the minor prophets, and the major prophets, and it's another 70, and then it's 5, the 5-point book, then it's another 12, and the way it's all put together, only a master hand could ever arrive. Over 1,600 years! And yet God brought it all together. And one day, the Son of God appeared on this earth, and who is He? He's the Word of God! He's the Logos! And a wonderful writer came along in the Hebrew Bible. It's called Hebrews in the New Testament. And he says, God's last word to this world. What is it? God hath spoken. And if you want God's last message, okay. And then we come to the final book. He winds everything up. And I had to learn Greek Alpha and Omega. But then when you come to the New Testament, the book of the Revelation opens with, they shall look upon Him whom they have pierced. What does God do? He brings the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and He brings together the new and the old and the new, and they become one. And the way He's brought it together, just like I'm in two parts, I got the external, I got the internal, the heart. And so we have this wonderful book, and He brings it all together in the person of Jesus Christ. And throughout all eternity, He'll be teaching us, and we'll discover things we never dreamed of. We'll be in the eternal state. But oh, let me tell you this evening, the only thing you're going to take out of this world is what you'll learn of God. All the other, naked I came in, naked I'm going out. And so the first thing I had to do, join a class of 19 from all over the world, and this is what the professor said. Now I'd like you to turn with me to Psalm 119, and you are going to learn the alphabet. And the second thing you're going to learn is how to write your name. And the third thing you're going to learn, where do you live? And in the first day of Hebrew, I learned a way of studying Hebrew that I never learned when I went to seminary for 4 years. But I want you to turn now to 119. And if you've got a Bible like mine, I'm okay. But if you haven't got a Bible like mine, that's just too bad. I have to carry on because I want you to see, in this Psalm 119, there are 22 letters. How many in English? Anybody? 26. But now, why are there 22? A, B, C, all of B, Gimel, Dalet, so and so. Why? Because up here, you've got major and minor bones that happen to come out to 22. How long were you in the water bag? 40 weeks. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Even coming into this world. And it's all in the book of God. But I want you to look now at Psalm 119. And when I was studying Hebrew, I had to get glasses because the fringe is so small. And it's rather wonderful. Look how it starts. What's the first letter at the top of 119? It starts with A. Elephant. Where do you think you got the word elephant from? Something that's big and great and wonderful. Look at the second thing. How do you build a home? How do you express the Trinity? How do you express God? You got to have Pa. You got to have Ma. You got to have a child. Then you can express a family. And because it does take three. And what's three? The triune God. The thing is absolutely saturated with what God is trying to teach you. And that's why the second thing is bet. That's the word for, supposing I want to go to the hospital, it's the Beit Hulin. Supposing I want to go to Bethlehem, it's the house of bread. Suppose I want to go or take you to where I live, Bethany, the house of affliction. Suppose I want you to get to know God, I'll take you to Bethel, the house of God. But the house of bread, the house, of mercy. But say, yeah. And all these different things that you learn. And how do you build a house? You have to have a son. That's the way God built his house. And he's still in the business. And so you have Beth. And that's why you have, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And if you're young, you'll never keep yourself the right way in your own strength. But if you want to keep the right way with God, get into the Bible. And he'll keep you from 1,000 evils. And he'll lead you in the right way. Because I know what it is to be in cities and be accosted. I know what it is to be tested and tried. And if you're ever going out to the mission field, it's better to have a real testing now. Because just like old age, there's no place for sissies or Cinderellas and all that. Old age is serious because you know your strength is slipping. You know your faculties are fading. And you know your time isn't very long. And you've got to come to grips. And everybody looks at you. And that's why they say, here comes the preacher, let's kill him. And I know now, once a Sunday, that's plenty for me. And because you begin to get a little bit shaky. And you notice that. So I gotta have a little bit of rest. And so I go to Sheetville every afternoon about an hour. And I love Blanket Bay, especially if it's cool. And but I don't like what I saw in the missionary house. Because when I went into his place, and I don't know where we were at, but I had to go into the bedroom. And there, right above the wall, the bed's there. And there above the wall. And guess what it said? Occupy till I come. I want to be up and doing. And as long as I can. So in my father and mother's house, and where they had it at the where they could see it every day, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Oh, what a blessing to me, I tell you. And so, you see here, and just little things. But now look at they say the word a woman come from Gimel, a camel, because she's always at work. She has to go for long stretches without even having a drink, and so on, so on, so on, so. But now look. Look at a verse like this. 73. Now what does it say at the top of your thing? Well, in mine it says hand. And then look what it says. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. And give me understanding that I might learn thy commandments. See, I am the product of a master hand. And oh, there's so many little things like this. And then there's the water bag at verse 97. Then look at verse 121. That's the word for eyes. And I have two here, but I've got the eyes of my heart, whom having not seen, I love. And you come right down until we come to what I'm trying to talk about. And you come down to 161. So I said to the dentist, and they're going all over me, and they're bothered. He wants to find some, and he couldn't find any, you know, cavities. And if you're true to your teeth, they won't play you false. And see, look what he says here. Up at the top, there's a little word, and it's called S-H-I-N. And it's written like this, and that's their first word, a word to learn, and it just looks like your teeth. Why? Because when I sat in the dentist's office, I said, you know the symbolism of the Word of God, like in Revelation and other books, but what does teeth mean? Well, come with me to Africa. And when a child is born the wrong way and the teeth come in the wrong way, it's an ill omen, an evil omen, and it's up to the mother to get rid of the child. So she puts the child on her back, and she walks down to the river, and she pulls a string, the baby falls in, and the crocodiles do the rest. And my mother-in-law rescued over 19. And then one day I had to go to see a couple that just had twins, like we have twins, Sharon and Karen. They're now 56. And Sharon and Karen, beautiful little girls, but here, this person and man and wife, they got twins. And I went to see them. Of course, I was glad to see them. I said, but they don't look well. Well, Mr. Ainge, we've got some, I'm not feeding them. Well, I said, they'll die. I didn't know what to do. Well, she says, you know, twins are an evil omen. And it's our culture. Boy, I came back in another week, they had failed. And then 3 weeks, they were both gone. And the government doesn't do anything. And a little couple lost their twins. And what's teeth have to do? It's your beginning. It's your development. And then what about the end of your life? If you don't know Christ, your Savior, you'll land in a place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And teeth have such, it's not what you, how you eat, it's what you eat. And that's why so many of our young people are being brought up in junk food. And when you go to Africa, and we only had a certain type of diet, but I kept it okay, and I've learned so many things, how to keep well. And to me, health, what health is to my body, so spirituality is to my soul. And the spiritual aspect of a person's life is far greater and more wonderful than anything else in all this world. Now, can I prove it? All right, come with me to Psalm 119 and just look at this. And you might not remember everything, but you should remember one of the symbols of the Hebrew line. It's based on many, many wonderful little things just in one little letter. That's why, who is the oldest man that ever lived? Study his name. You will see it. Meh, that's death. When he comes. And when that little boy died, it came. What was coming? Judgment, the flood. Methuselah. Why is it 9 and 6 and 9? Because 9 is the number of completion. That's why we have the 9-fold fruit of the Spirit. Why is it 6? Because it's the day you were born. The 6, we are creatures of the 6 days. Created. The Creator, the great Creator. So now look what it says. I'll go down and I'll try and get you out early. Look at verse 161. Princes. What's that word? It's called czar. And that's the word for government. And that's the word for leaders. And that's for the ones that are in what we would say politics. Princes have persecuted me without a cause. And away in the days of Christ and all down through the centuries. Which government has ever been for the Christian? And we'll come to a world that's ripe for judgment. And God will allow a great dictator to appear. He may be alive now as a boy, but he'll be called the Antichrist, and he'll be everything anti-God. And oh, the day that's coming, And I know what it is to see 2.5 miles of cars trying to get just a little bit of gas to it. And I've lived to see people so hungry, they go into garbage barrels and they come with their kids to the hotel and the little kid gets up and gets in the garbage barrel and anything he can find to eat, he gets it. And I watch that and it's a horrible sight, but they're at it all the time. Why? So many go to bed every night and they're hungry. And you and I enjoy things, and I'm a very thankful man. That's why I'm a happy man. Why? Because I'm so thankful to God. I've got my understanding. I've got a little bit of health, but I know that silver and gold have I none. But I've got the greatest treasure in all the world. I've got the Lord Jesus. He's my Savior. He's the one I love. And He's the one I'd go to the ends of the earth and describe Him and tell about Him and preach His word and prove that long before I ever get out of this world, I've experienced days of heaven and the earth. But that's not to be compared with what I'm coming into. And thank God, behold what manner of love. What's the word manner? What does it mean? It's somebody of another world. That's His root. And here's somebody who stepped into human history. He came from another world. Altogether different. There's never been anybody like him in all the world. We have B.C. before Christ. The Jews did away, and now it's before the Christian era. A.D., we're here. And the whole world is changed. Christ came into the world, and he was born as a wee baby. He was a man of Galilee, but he was the Christ of Calvary, and he's my Savior. And oh, to get to know him. Some of you know him up here. But get to know him down here. That's why he came where? From the bosom of God, so to speak. And my little boy couldn't understand when he lost mommy. And he cried every night. Now he's a doctor, but oh, he cried, 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 cried. And about the sixth night I was ready to throw him over, you know what to do. And I'm holding him here. And it's just as though God himself spoke me. Ah, yes. But your chest isn't like mother's breast. And boy, God taught me a few things. And I'd take that little kid and hug him and just think. One day he'd come out of a hospital filled with children with every kind of handicap or malady or sickness, a leprosarian. And when he came out, he says, Daddy, I know what I want to do. How old was he? 9. I want to help children. Well, go and see him in Winston-Salem. He's got his own clinic with 5 doctors. He's got a wonderful, they're all Christians. And then we've got a little orphanage way out in Africa. We started small, but after we saw children die like flies, even last year when we visited all these little kids, and I used to go visit this one, that one, the other, I didn't know what was wrong. Nobody else knew. It happened to be AIDS. They just die. And they were listless, but they were only about 4, 5, 6, or 7. Usually before 10, they were gone. And so, you see, he says, Princes of Persia. And when you get a government, and at least you got a man who knows about God, well, how much we need to pray. But Princes of persecuting me without a cause. We've taken the whole political world. But my heart stands in awe. And since I came into this building tonight, I heard a man say, "Ah, he's awesome. And that's awesome." The word awesome has to do with God. And when they say, "Oh, isn't it awesome? Isn't she awesome?" No, I know a few words, but awesome belongs to the glorious person of my Lord. He's my maker. He's my mediator. Who would I have if I didn't have him? But I'm a man. He's my master. I'm just one of his servants. And the word really is slave. And I'd rather have Jesus than anything else in all the world. And so here he says, Princes of Persia, without a cause, my heart standeth in awe. Have you ever got to that place where I stand in awe at the Word of God? Well, at times I've had. Sometimes I wake up at night and I can't remember. Because I've got my memory's like a pocket with a hole in it. I know, and then I can't remember even names sometimes. And so I go and I get my Bible, and I keep a Bible always at my side if I wake up and I have my flashlight. And then the same with my wife, she'd wake up, oh, listen, what's that hymn, All the Way My Savior Leads Me? What have I to ask besides? Can I doubt his tender mercy? Whose for life has been my God? And she can't remember enough. And even in the night, I'd go and try and get the hymn book and tell her. And because her mind was going. But thank God, right to the end, she knew who I was. But we never know what may be ahead for us. But if we got God, he'll see us through. And so here, I stand in awe. Because sometimes the word of God so grips me and grabs hold of me. I can't. And I have to just drop everything. And I just have to get on my knees. And I proved it. Why? He opened up something. And you see, I can read Hebrew. I can read Greek. But, oh, the spiritual one that God has given me, the Holy Spirit, he teaches me and shows me and brings things together. Like a man said to me, he didn't know what Abel meant. Abel means vanity. And he was only in the world a short time, and he was murdered. And the very first two boys that were ever born in the world, one was for God, the other was for evil. And little Abel, his name means vanity. Why do you think God wrote a whole book on vanity? And man at his best state is altogether what? Emptiness, vanity. What is your life? It's like a vapor. And God teaches us all that right at the first. What's the word Adam mean? Have you met Mr. Adam or Mrs. Adam? Adam means one blood. So I go to my son, the doctor, and I said, David, I've got in this little place, that's the sample of a Chinaman's blood. And this one is a European, because the way you're looked upon in Africa, you're either a European, or you're an Asiatic, or you're a European, or an African. Why? Because of the color, brown, and so on, so on. And that's the way the gospel in chapter 8 of Acts goes to a black man. In chapter 9, it goes to a brown man. And in chapter 10, it goes to a white man. And learn the Bible. That's why Jesus says, come. Then he says, take my yoke. Get into line with me. I'll never chafe your neck. Get in line with me. And then he says, learn of me. That's a lifetime experience. My father never had a chance like I had of going much to school. But he knew his Bible. How? By study? No, he wasn't a student. He just meditated. But we don't have time to do those things now. And just sit down. I let the Lord love me many a time. I sit in the chair because I've memorized so many scriptures. Then when I sit in quietness, and you can't be spiritual if you don't have a little quiet time with God. You got to have a little time. And if it's a bore, God help you. I love to think I met God in the morning when the day was at its best. Sometimes I had to give up because I just overwhelmed. He is so precious to me. And it's real. And so here, I learned something that they hated him without a cause. But my heart stand in awe. Then, am I a joyful Christian? Well, there's a lot of things to make you happy because of what happens. But the joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. And when he came into this world, who for the joy that was set before him, he saw you. He saw the travail of his soul. And he had you in mind. He had me in mind. You ask me why I love him. Well, long before I was born, he saw me in the womb. And oh, the wonder. When we get to heaven, we'll learn a few things. But I rejoice that they were one that findeth the grace. And sometimes I could live. I can live for 2 or 3 days on just maybe one verse. And there's 71,173. What's the central verse of the whole Bible? It's better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in Adam or man. Because there's four words in the Bible for man. And you need to find out what they are. Then he says, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Because the law of the Lord is perfect. And it teaches me, boy, how great thou art. And then I discover how weak I am. And God has given us the law as a schoolmaster. What does he do? He teaches you. And so the teacher brings everything to me, puts it on the board. You get a little bit of it up here. And God gave us the law. And what do we discover? Which I can't even live up to it. Thou shalt not covet. There's so many things. Honor thy father and thy mother. Oh, that's a blessed one. Wonderful thing to have a good father and a good mother. And just think, if I'd never even gone to any church, or I'd never known much about it, this, that, and the other thing, the things of God, what I saw with dad and mother, I couldn't get over it. They were just simple, humble, born again believers. They have their problems, like all of us have our problems. All of us come short, but there's nothing in this wide, wide world like a dad and mother who love God and bring their children up the same way. Sure, they have all kinds of troubles and trials and heartache, but there's not a friend like the Lord Jesus. No, not one. And so, I have that joy, and that's what the Scriptures do. The Scriptures teach me that I live in a world of hate. And when I went over to that colored couple, and there they were, and I thought it was such a beautiful thing, they gave thanks. And I said, oh, I'm so thankful. I saw you bow your head and give thanks for food. And he glared at me. He said, well, what's it to you? And, well, I saw something that I just admired. And sometimes the racial side of things is horrible. And I experienced it, you know. If I went to Crete, it was always the Cypriots and the Greeks. If I go into South Africa, it's always the Boers, the Dutch. And he said, I'm sorry, sir. I've never allowed a white man to come into my house. And if you are going to do any talking to me, I'll come out in the veranda. And then I go to pray with somebody. Is it true that you work among the black people? I said, yes. Well, you don't need to pray for me. Bye-bye. She's lying sick in bed and over 70 years of age. Why, the hatred and that which and works out its way out even toward Christians. And to have any of that spirit, how could you be born again? I don't understand it. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. And while the law may be legalistic, God used it as a schoolmaster to teach us that you'll never be able to fulfill it. But what the law could do, could not do, God sent Jesus Christ. And he was the one that opened the door into life, life, eternal life. The door of liberty. The door of laughter. And oh, the marvel of coming to know the Lord. Once I was in darkness, but now I have the light of life. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And I got it. And my pathway has become a shining light. And I'm getting near the end. And it's glorious. Why? Because take the world, give me Jesus. And you see here, he teaches me 7 days. How many times? I've been in buses in India, and I've been in buses in Europe, and I've been in buses in the Holy Land, and they stop. And the prayer hour comes, and they even stop the bus. And then they get down underneath. And I've watched scores, hundreds. It's like a gray shroud is all over them. And they're Allah, Allah. And, you know, what is it? It's like a shroud of the evil one over the whole thing. And they've never burst through. And they've never discovered the light of life. And that's why when I became a Christian, I said to my father and mother, I don't want to be like some of the young people in our assembly. And I just felt it because none of them, I didn't see any reality as to this life. And I was only a teenager, but I knew I was born again. I sure did, just as I am, I came. And then seven times, and I see these people abroad, they're at it seven times a day. And Daniel had his three times a day, and so on. David knew all about it. And I try to have a little time in the morning, and I like to say a little prayer at noon and at the evening. And I'm not always at it. I'm not always way up there in the cloud, eh? I'm just human. I'm just natural. But the thing that throws my soul, something happened to me. Do you know anything about it? Because you're only young. But my wife came to Jesus at six. But she sure helped to keep me in my place. And she says, you know, what all of you said, did you behave yourself? Yes, mother. And now look into this. Verse 165. Great peace have they that love the law, thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If I was to listen after I get through speaking to some of the things that say, I want to be a real retreat and forget it. But it doesn't matter. Nothing moved Paul. Jesus set his face as a flint to know and do what he come into the world. I know what God wants me to do. And I only got a little while left. I'd like to be like Jesus. I'd like to live for the Lord. I'd like to tell about his greatness, his wonder and marvel and what I'm coming into. And how can I ever forget it? Why, it's real. It's of the Holy Spirit. And it says, he says here, nothing offended me. Nothing's going to stumble me. By the help of God, I'm going to go on. And I've kept it up. That's why I wrote my thesis for my master's. On what word? One word, discipline. And so, it is a discipline. Lord, I have hoped in thy salvation. And I have done thy commandment as much as I can. And hope is that faith links me with Christ. It anchors me. And hope inspires me, but love transforms me. And you can go all through. And I need it. And my faith can only grow according to the Bible. How does faith develop? Faith cometh by what? Hearing. No wonder Shakespeare said, friends, Romans are coming, lend me your ears, I'll give them back to you tomorrow. And you get it in the Bible. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That takes time. And how wonderful. It comes in here, but then it moves its way. So you're to know him up here, you're to stow him down here, you're to show him wherever you go, and if you got any track or anything like, sow it wherever you go. And that's a way to move and live and have your being. And he says, my soul hath kept thy commandment. I love them exceeding. Well, I love the word of God. Why? I've discovered so many wonderful things. And sometimes it's just a word. Sometimes it's a sentence. Sometimes it's something I hear at a service. And sometimes you go to the morning meeting and something will be said or read. And over the years, you discover more and more. And he ends up, I have kept thy precepts, thy testimony, for all my ways are before thee. So I know my God is behind me. He'll look after it. I know he's before me. I know he's above me. And I know the best is yet ahead. So I'm following on. Nothing but Christ, the living bread. With staff in hand and feet well shod, nothing but Christ, the Christ of God. One of these days I'll see him. Why? And he's, to me, he's altogether lovely. He's just beautiful. And so if we have a little care for our wives, and then we have a little care for our little children, and we see them grow and develop, and we're so thankful, what will it be when in a glorified body I fall at His feet, and the story repeat, and the lover of sinners adore? Most of us go along, and lots of times we lose our first love. I've never lost my first love for Jesus. And Yeshua HaMashiach has been so precious. I never talk to a Jew about Jesus. I have to use the right words. And I get their ear. And then they'll tell me he's a bastard. Mary got entangled with a Roman. And look what came. You got a bastard. And then I have to prove it. And he says, Jesus isn't in the Bible. I said, what did you say? In the Old Testament. He says, yeah, that's our book. Well, I said, I'll show proof of Joshua, that's Jesus. It's right in Isaiah, that's Jesus. Hosea. And God shows us something of His person in Isaiah, something of His work. In Joshua, He shows us something of His command and His power and His leadership. And when it comes to Hosea, story of the broken-hearted man, His people, and every need that ever arises in your heart or brain, whatever it is, God loves you. Jesus died for you. All along through the centuries, the devil has fought it, but I got it. Have you? No amens? Yeah, well, it's a wonderful thing. And look what you sang tonight, some of those hymns. And that's what thrills my soul, too. But here's just a little skit, a little thing about my teeth. Why? God wants me to develop. Because my life is headed for destiny, the greatest destiny in all the world. I'm going home to heaven. I look for a city which has foundation, whose builder and architect is God. And it won't be long before we'll hear a rise, my fair one, come away! The old bridegroom's here. And he'll never forget you. He'll get you and take you. Because he's got the best home in all the world. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee for the B-I-B-L-E. We thank Thee for what we've learned over the years. And, oh God, our Father, open Thou mine eyes, that I might behold wondrous things out of Thy law. And then to realize You've given me a book to show myself, because it's like a lamp to my own feet. And then it's a light to help me through the darkness and to see things as they really are from the viewpoint of heaven. And it's no wonder when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. So receive our thanks, bless the good word of God to our hearts, and now take us to our home in safety, and remember the families we represent, and remember the particular needs of us, and remember all who are dear to us. And again, our Father, receive our thanks for taking us out, bringing us in, and the fellowship, and the food, and the wonderful time that we've had in this part of the world, and take me on to my little place tomorrow under God, and remember the coming Wednesday night, and remember the various things that are ahead for this band of Christians, and may the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow, may it be theirs to prove and know that as for God, His way is perfect, and He is my hope. He is my confidence, and He shall guide me to the end. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God be with you, and thanks for listening to me and keeping awake.